Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish in the evening. And we have a special treat today. And today we have Dr. Timothy Jackson in the studio. And he is going to lead us in a discussion about Israel. And he has a lot of things that are pertinent to life situation as we speak, and the things that we need to be paying attention to for the now. And so as we go on into the study tonight, we're going to start off with, of course, prayer. And after we have prayer, we're going to have a reading of the scripture. Dr. Jackson has scripture that he wants to have read. And after we read that scripture, we'll have a song. And after the song, we'll have intercessory prayer, and we'll start the Bible study. Well, with that being our agenda, let's go, let's go, let's go. Holy and righteous God, we come before you, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. We praise you, O God. We thank you for waking us up with your finger of love this morning and helping us as we started the day and we made it through. We picked up our foot, we lifted, and we carried through step by step by step. And we trusted that where our feet landed, you, O God, had gone before. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, as we come into the throne room, we are gracious. We are excited because we get to sit at your feet. We are thankful, Lord, as we imagine Revelation stating to us that we see the crystal sea. We see the throne with emerald rainbow around it. We vision the 24 elders around the throne with their crown saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we praise you. We praise you, O God, because we know you are the Logos. We know, O God, that you are the expressed idea. Lord, we understand who you are and whose we are. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us light. We thank you for the knowledge. And so tonight, as we partake, we ask that you continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, we want to move from data and information to knowledge to wisdom. We ask that you would empower Dr. Timothy Jackson to give us that very thing so that we can grow. We've been working on the study of discipleship, and we've chosen to interrupt that study. We stopped with being an infant, and we're going to interrupt that study so that we can pick it up after we make this major discussion and dialogue about Israel. And so we are trusting you tonight, O God, to lead, guide, and direct us into the wisdom, into that place where you choose for us to go. We thank you now. We thank you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Good evening. How is everybody tonight?
We're all doing well. You read the scripture now. We just need you to read the scripture now.
You need me to read the scripture?
Yes, okay. It's your scripture. Read the scripture.
Okay.
That was a directive, Doc.
Our scripture tonight is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, starting at verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away with his disciples. No, walking away when his disciples came up to him, called his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed, for such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pain. We're going to stop right there.
Especially
Intercessory prayer.
Okay.
So, if there's anyone who would like to offer request or a praise report, a prayer report, praise report for what God has done, or request for what you'd like for God to do.
Well, I have a praise. I have been struggling in a certain area of my life with my family, and God has brought healing there. And I just want to praise him for that, for only he could. He has opened my eyes to some things that I just didn't see. And one of the problems of having been a man who is narcissistic, a lot of things you don't see. In order for you to see them, the Lord has to open your eyes, especially when it pertains to yourself. So I just give him glory for that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie out of Indiana, and just wanted to just thank God. I made it through this is a year. And I've had beautiful harvest, great produce. God has blessed in the area. My son James has got a job. He's working at school, and he's pursuing his endeavors. My daughter Sydney is doing well, and we're just grateful for that. I'm asking God to lead, guide, and direct me as far as where God would have me vest my gifts. And just wanted to say thank you that I have a self-evaluation that's due tomorrow, and I almost have it completed, and I'm just grateful for that. I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
So, I'm missing my family. So my mom is gone. My family is gone. My sister is gone, and the people who were close to me, I'm just missing them and just wishing family were around. So I'm asking for prayers and support. And, you know, I may even try to pull up some old videos so that I can see them.
Okay. All right. I just want to say to Dr. Susie, you're surrounded by another family. It's called the people of God. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Because God surrounds us with them so that in times when we're feeling the lack of family, we have them to help support us and bring us up. Don't forget them. Amen.
So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and righteous God, we thank you and praise you and magnify your name. We thank you for enlightenment. We thank you for the light, which is knowledge. You know, you keep us from the darkness, which is ignorance. And we thank you, O God, for leading, guiding, and directing us, for turning our hearts towards you, for giving us a heart that seeks after yours, that we might be obedient to do the things that you would like for us to do. And so we come before you today, and we're asking that this Bible study, Lord, would strengthen us, that the learnings that we've had with Dr. Jackson, he said that's helped him to be aware, self-aware. We are praising you and thanking you for that. Lord, I'm thanking you for the things that you prepared and put around me. And as Dr. Jackson said, that there is out there family and to be able to find the church family and to depend on them. Lord, just asking that as I go through the study, as we go through the study tonight, that there would be insight, there would be encouragement, there would be a sense of passion so that we can seek your face. We can desire to grow and to have you continually feed us so that we will have strength and we can walk in that which you've taught. We thank you for that tonight, and we look forward to more. We ask these blessings in the matchless name of Jesus. We say amen and amen.
Amen.
So, doing a roll call and having been in the studio today, Dr. Jackson, it's only you and I in the studio. Margaret is unable to be with us. They are traveling and will be traveling for the month of October. And so it's only the two of us in the studio tonight.
It's all right. God's word says, where there are two or three gathered together in my name and agreeing, he would be a God in the midst. So here we go. One of the reasons that I felt led to approach Dr. Susie about the state of Israel was because of what is going on right now in the world between Israel and her enemies. The nation of Israel right now is at war, literally at war. Many of us have seen our president and get on the TV, and he has proclaimed absolute fidelity to Israel, that he would support them no matter what. I think the term he used was, we got their back. Amen. And that means militarily, financially, etc. And one of the things that a lot of people struggle with is why? Why? Well, the first reason is that the church, the Christian church, those who have been saved have been grafted into sonship of Christ and are brothers and sisters with Israel. Hello, somebody. Did you know that? Amen. That in many cases, we believe that there are certain scriptures that were written primarily addressed Israel, but also spoke to the people and the nations that would bless Israel. One in particular that comes to mind is God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel.
Amen.
That's pretty black and white. That's pretty black and white.
That's black and white.
That's black and white. And then there's some history there. For those of you who don't know, it's just me and you. For some reason, I have to get that in my head. It's just us two. 50 years ago, Israel was at this same place with the Arab nations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was called the War of Yom Kippur. Is that it? Anyway, it was a five-day war. And, of course, Israel came out victorious, and nobody thought they could do it. Well, they're there again. And a lot of people are doubting because their enemies are so many. Well, I wanted to take a moment, Dr. Susie, and just kind of reflect on some things that Jesus said about the nation of Israel as it pertains to war. Amen. And the country as it pertains to war.
Okay.
In the 24th chapter, the disciples and Christ were traveling through Jerusalem. And the disciples were in awe of the temple buildings. And they were looking at the grandeur of them. And Christ throws an incredible cold bucket of water on their parade. He says, do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Now, you got to understand, that would have been hard to swallow. Because the temple for the nation of Israel was their claim to fame. The temple was where the nation of Israel touched God. And it was almost impossible to believe that anybody could tear the temple down. But those of us who know Israel's history know that at a later date in time, in fact, there was a war. And during that war, they pried the stones apart to get the gold that was that had melted down into the in between them. And every stone was left separated from the other. Exactly what Christ prophesied has come true. And so, but there were other things that Christ said. In verse 3, Jesus was now sitting on the Mount of Olives by himself, and his disciples come to him privately, and now they ask, when will all this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, Dr. Susie, I need you to work with that for a moment. What were the disciples looking for?
All right. What were the disciples looking for, Doc?
No, you tell me. I asked the question.
Don't make me have to hurt you tonight, Doc.
I'm asking the question because I want to get some controversy. I don't want you to say or repeat what I'm going to say.
In reality, we don't have to go through a whole bunch to get controversy because we disagree on so many things. So all you got to do
That's
is talk. And I'm sure in a few minutes I'm going to have something to disagree with you about.
Okay. But can you at least answer the question? What was it that the disciples were asking Jesus? What was it they were looking for? Just by the question.
Well, the disciples asked Jesus lots of things. They wanted to know who was going to be sitting next to him, if they could be on one on the right, one on the left. They wanted to know when the end times were coming. And he said, no one would know, no man would know the hour nor the day. I mean, they asked a lot of good questions, Doc.
Yes, they did. But I'm talking about in this particular passage, this passage right here, the disciples asked a question. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? So what are they
looking for? Do you mind if I read the text, Matthew 24:1-13?
No, go ahead, if that's the only way you can answer my question.
Well, that works for me. I'm glad you were so cooperative. So.
Go ahead.
I got to get my glasses on, unless you want to go ahead and read.
No, I wouldn't dare deprive you of your right to read Scripture.
So, I'm reading and New Living Translation. 24th verse, the first through the 13th says, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? There's the question, Doc.
Yes, it is.
What signs? And that's what we're looking for, the signs. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what the disciples were looking for. They wanted a sign. They wanted something that they could look and see that's witness to the fact that the end times was upon them. Now, those of us who are sophisticated, we have studied what are called the end times, and that is called eschatology, study of the end times. And one of the things, if you've ever studied eschatology, you will learn so many different theories about what constitutes the end time of Christ. But the thing that I wanted to focus on tonight was more the idea of the wars and the rumors of wars. Amen? That's why I wanted to focus on it.
And it's always important to remember that as we're looking at this relationship with that God and Israel have, that it's a special one. And that's why you made the point of saying that whoever loves Israel, God will love. You know, they'll have that support. And the unconditional covenant that that God had in promising his children that he would provide for them, and no matter what, that will continue. And it's not a bilateral.
Unilateral.
Unilateral. That's the word I was looking for. Unilateral. So it means that Israel doesn't have to do a thing. This is all about what God is choosing to do.
And that's the point. And that's the first point I would like for our Bible study to make tonight. That when Jesus is telling them about the end times, he is also emphasizing God's role in the end times. That just because there will be wars and rumors of wars, that's not the end. And the interesting thing, if you look at their history, that's exactly what you see. Wars and rumors of wars. And I found myself watching TV, listening to our president speak about Israel, wondering, okay, God, is this it? Is this war between Israel and the Hamas? Is this going to signify or going to be the launching of the World War III? Is this when the Antichrist will come out? All of those questions started coming to my mind. And, of course, the Bible tells me, go back to Scripture. What does Scripture say? Scripture says, these are the beginning of birth pains. Meaning that if your wife is pregnant and her water breaks, that's the beginning. You got a lot to look forward to as you get taken to the hospital and you got to wait for the coming of the baby. This was just the beginning. Go ahead.
You know, Doc, what's interesting is when I keep hearing you talk about the wars and rumors of wars, and I hear you talk about where he says, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. But, you know, also that one scripture that just jumps at me when he says, when the prophet Zechariah declared that God would plunder the nations that plunder Israel. For he who touches Israel touches the apple of his eye. And I'm like, whoa. So when you talk about wars and rumors of wars, then the people who go to war against Israel would need to be cognizant of that, won't you think?
Yes, they should, because guess what? God's prophecy didn't stop because the New Testament picked up. His prophecies to Israel are ongoing. Amen.
God has a very special relationship with Israel. And he's not through with her yet. In fact, he will never be through with her. Because he made, and Dr. Susie alluded to this earlier, he made a unilateral vow to her.
Yeah.
Unilateral simply means that one person makes a promise and that one person is accountable to hold it. Bilateral is when one person, is when there are two people, one person makes a vow and the second person makes a vow. That's bilateral.
When they make a vow together, when one depends on the other.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
That's bilateral too.
Yes.
Meaning that Israel don't do nothing but just be Israel. God's going to do what he said he would do.
Yeah. And
amen.
It made me think about when you were talking about Israel and how they've had previous wars, the Six-Day War of 1967,
uh-huh.
That was the most spectacular example of God's
yeah.
punishment on those who cursed Israel. And you had
yep.
Israel, that's, remember you talked about last week, somewhere in there, about Israel becoming an independent nation in 1948?
Uh-huh.
Well, because the Palestinians and the Islamic states didn't recognize their statehood, and they decided they were going to exterminate them. So in 67, the UAR, the United Arab Republic, allied with
yeah.
Jordan, Syria, and the Palestinian guerrillas to attack
yeah.
Israel from the north, the south, and the east. Now, you know Israel ain't that big, right?
That's right.
So Israel was hopelessly outmanned. The Arab armies numbered more than 500,000 men. Israel had only 75,000.
Right.
And the Arabs had 5,000 tanks and 900 combat aircrafts. I looked this up. Whereas Israel's total was only like 1,000 tanks and 175 planes. Yet,
that's right.
When the smoke cleared 6 days later, the UA Air, which was, remember, the United Arab Republic, had lost
right.
almost its entire air force. Almost
yeah.
its
yeah.
entire air force. About 20,000 lives. And guess what? Israel had taken over significant Arab-controlled territory, including the peninsula, the Sinai Peninsula, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Golan Heights, all those things. And then when they came together, right, the speech
mm-hmm.
that Israel Prime Minister made, Benjamin Netanyahu,
uh-huh.
talked about how the preservation of the Jewish people, how he said that in every generation there were those who rose up to destroy their people. In antiquity, he said, we faced destruction from the ancient empires of Babylon and Rome. In the Middle Ages, he said, they faced Inquisition and expulsion. And in modern times, they faced pogroms and the Holocaust, yet the Jewish people persevered. Wow.
Yes,
and
indeed.
He tells them, after all of that, that if something else rises to destroy Israel, that regime, whatever it is, would be wise to consider this, that they are a young country, 67 years old, a nation state of around 4,000 years old. But guess what? They had invincible empires. People thought they were invincible empires, but Israel
mm-hmm.
lives. No matter what
yes,
happens,
indeed.
They live. God is on their side.
Amen. And believe that. I mean, that's a historical fact. What I find fascinating with everything that you said is this, that Israel is not a Christian nation. Did you know that? The people
why would you think it was Christian? They're Jewish.
They're not. They're Jewish, right. They're not a Christian nation. But guess
but
what?
Who told you the Jews were Christians?
Yeah. But even in spite of that, they are still the Lord's people. And he protects them. I'm going to be very honest with you.
Yeah,
this battle that they're fighting now will end up just, it will be something done spectacularly that nobody will see coming. And guess who will end up on top? The Jewish nation.
So my question to you, doctor, is, and I wonder if others are thinking this, is why is it that we think that it has to be because we are predominantly Christian, that it's the Christian people that you're having an expectation that would be all the other people? That's ethnocentrism.
You're confusing me. I'm sorry.
I mean, if we assume that because God loves us, right, and Christ died for it, that the Jewish people are the Jewish people. Now, there are all kinds of different people there, and this is a question I'd like for you to answer, not right now, but some other time, is I have people always saying to me, well, the people in Israel are not real Jews.
It's not true.
So if we could talk about that next week, I would love to hear about that. Are they real?
I'm done after tonight.
Oh, you're done? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be next night.
No, I guess we'll go back to discipleship. But let's enjoy tonight then.
So let's enjoy tonight. Hello?
We're here.
I got somebody trying to reach my. Hopefully they'll come to the house. Anyway, back to what I was going to say. There's a movie. It's called The Passion of the Christ. I think Mel Gibson produced it back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually done in Aramaic. An incredible movie, just incredible. In fact, I owned that for years. I gave it up here about in the past 6 months, but I owned that for years. Anyway, in that movie, there's a scene. First of all, it was the Passion of the Christ that I got to visibly see what the Passion of Christ actually looks like. Whenever they were tormenting or beating him and his body would be separated from that cross, he would scramble to get back to hugging that cross. It was as if the only thing that mattered was that he hugged that cross. He stayed with that cross. And I can remember he had gotten to the point he physically just couldn't do it. And there was a woman that was giving him some water, and she was weeping for him. And Jesus looked at her, and he said, woman, don't weep for me, but weep for your children and your children's children. And I have thought about the Jewish people and what they have had to endure all throughout our times. They have been persecuted everywhere they have gone. Yet they survived. Yet they survive. It is my personal belief, Dr. Susie, I qualified it. It's my personal belief that a great deal of the persecution is because they are the people of God. That's my personal perspective on it. What do you think?
Well, I think that anything that belongs to the Lord, anything that is of God, the enemy is going to want to challenge and destroy or to make difficult because he dislikes anything that loves the Lord. He's jealous of anything that would honor, glorify, and magnify the Lord because he can't do it anymore. So anything that opposes, he's going to try to destroy it.
And let me give you one other one. Now, I'm going to go out there on the cross now. If I were on Facebook, I would be attacked by the statement I'm getting ready to make right now.
Do you want me to help you after you get out there, or you want me to let you hang?
Let me hang.
Okay.
That land that they call Palestine is actually Israel. God never said you could change the name to Palestine. It was Israel. And even though Israel left it, came back in 1946, 1947, somewhere in there, established a state, it is still their land. Go figure that one out. Because I got a whole lot of flack from a whole lot of liberal brothers and sisters when I said that that land belongs to Israel. They said, how can it belong to Israel? There are Palestinians that live there. I said, and I know that's fine and dandy, and I pray that the Palestinians would learn to be good neighbors, but guess what? The land belongs to Israel. Anyway,
the thing that we have to look at is that the hard part is that remember when the Lord said to Abraham, and you all the families of the earth should be blessed?
Uh-huh.
And that's the basic, the root of God's promise to Abraham. It was his purpose in creating this new people for himself, which is why God loves him so much. And they were supposed to become the repository of God's glory, of God's wisdom, God's love, and his grace. And all this saving grace was supposed to overflow from the Jews to the rest of the world, right?
That's right. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests.
Yes. So through Abraham, God gave his written word to the world, but with these exceptions, we look at the book of Luke and Acts and books that are authored by a Jewish writer, every book that's authored by them, and we look at Abraham, right? God gave his son to the world, blessing all humanity with the means of escaping the grip of sin and death, but that the blessing of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:14, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus,
amen,
that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's
amen
how the Christians get involved. And
amen
all the other promises of God's covenant with Abraham are in support of this universal promise that affects every person that ever lived.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, that's all I wanted to cover tonight, Dr. Susie.
Well, the Bible study goes to 8:30, so what do you propose?
Well,
you knew that Bible study, teacher.
I'm getting tugged on from two or three different places right now that I didn't expect.
Well, we want to say blessings to those of you who heard the word tonight. We want to talk a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit more. And, you know, Dr. Jackson is going to have to go and take care of some business. But I want to just review a couple of things. Dr. Jackson talked about the eternal covenant. And, you know, God's promise to Abraham came in three stages. Y'all know that, right? It started off in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It was formalized in Genesis 15, 1 through 21. And then it was amplified in Genesis 17, 1 through 18, 21. And what we find here is that Abraham was approaching his 100th birthday. 100th! His faith was frail. It had been nearly 25 years since his first encounter with the Lord. 25 years. Then God appeared reminding Abraham after 25 years that his promise was a forever promise, an eternal promise. He says, between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. to be God to you and your descendants after you.
Amen.
And he says, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land, come on now, in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God, their descendants' God. So you see, the promise to Abraham is an everlasting promise because it's an unconditional covenant based on the grace and the sovereignty of Almighty God. There might be delays in the situation, y'all. There might be postponements. There may be some chastisements as you go along the way. But an eternal covenant cannot be broken by a God who cannot deny himself. Come on, somebody. And somebody sent me a question that said, so why did God choose Israel, right? What was the purpose in that? Why, Doc, why did God choose Israel? So when I first started studying, I remember there was this this little rhythm thing. Thank you for joining, 502. You're more than welcome to join into the study. Thank God you're in. Thank you, sis, for coming. But we're at the question. We were talking about Israel because Dr. Jackson had a real passion about discussing that Israel would always be God's beloved and that the land would always be Israel's because of what we just discussed. So the question was, why did God choose Israel, right? So there was this this little rhyme. I don't know if y'all remember it. It was by this British journalist. His name was William Norman Ewer, E-W-E-R. I probably just jacked up the man's name. But he says, how odd of God to choose the Jews. When you think about it, this poetic quip expresses a valid observation. Doesn't it seem a little odd that of all the people on earth, God selects these particular people to be his chosen nations? Why would God choose the Jews? So the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 7:7, it says, his choice of Israel had nothing to do with merit. It was not because Israel was more numerous than other people in the world. It was the least, according to Deuteronomy 7:7. It was not because Israel was more sensitive than God than other nations. Israel didn't even know him, according to Isaiah 45:4. It was not because Israel was more righteous than other nations. God called them a rebellious and stiff-necked people in Deuteronomy 9:6-7. So then why did God choose the Jews? And the answer is because God is sovereign. And he has the right to do what he wants to do. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen and amen. So, what I want us to look at is the return to the God of Israel is what's happening. Well, if you believe that Israel's return to the land you know, that fulfills all the biblical prophecies. And you got people saying now the Israel's restored to the land. Now that they've come back to the land and they're restored, does that mean we're at the end of time, right? Because that's what people are looking for. Dr. Jackson asked the question, what was it that people, that the disciples were asking him? And it says in the scripture in Matthew 24, he asked the questions. He says, the disciples asked him privately, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? So that's what people are guessing. You know, what's going on? Is what's happening? Is this the end? So many people are assuming, well, what's happening in Israel today is primarily the result of a secular Zionist movement where Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, wrote about a spiritual return of God's people to him. Isn't that awesome? He says, I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries,
and bring you into your own land. I, talking about the Lord, will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I, the Lord says, will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I, the Lord says, put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then, he says, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. I love this part. And I will be your God. Ezekiel 36:24-28. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? When he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. Isn't it awesome to think about God saying that to you? It's kind of like saying that we're going steady now, right? We connected now. You belong to me. You my man. You my boat, right? What you think, sis? What you think? So we have the return of the Jews to the refounded nation of Israel. That's the first time, the first stage of that regathering. But it's not, definitely not the requirement of this, the fulfilling of the requirement of this spiritual return. Because you remember God promised something else. He said, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Y'all remember that? The spirit of grace and supplication in Zechariah 12:10. Then he says, they will look on me whom they pierced. Woo! And Romans 11:26-27 says, and so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them. When I take away their sins, this is my covenant with them. When I take away their sins. Woo! That's deep, y'all. We got these two pivotal prophecies talking about Israel. They haven't been fulfilled yet. Israel doesn't yet occupy all the land originally promised to it, right? Its people have not returned to Christ, right? The prophecies of Israel returned to the homeland were explicitly fulfilled in 1948 when Israel, you know, began to profess that it wanted to return and be a state. So all of this stuff that's happening gives us assurance that full restoration is on the horizon, right? And the prophecies concerning Israel's return to God won't be long, and they too will be fulfilled. So that's what we're waiting on, y'all. We're waiting on the fulfillment of these prophecies. Israel's continuing to grow as a nation. You know, people, as Dr. Jackson said, have continued to fight against her and to challenge her. And against all odds, the people of Israel that led the Middle East in productivity and wealth and order and freedom and military power. But as these assets increase, the nation, what happens to them? They become more and more isolated. They're terrorized by the murderous hostility of their neighbors, right? And they have more and more expectations ahead of them. Israel is like an island of less than 9 million immigrants surrounded by a sea of 300 million enemies. And many of them want to wipe this tiny nation off the map. So we get this purely human point of view, right? And it seems inevitable that sooner or later, Israel's going to be destroyed. However, Israel has been attacked over and over and over since it's been founded, sometimes in all-in-all war, sometimes just by terrorists. But the Jewish people have survived by remaining vigilant. But, y'all, they long for peace. I would be wanting peace. Yeah, I'd be wanting peace. But the Bible tells us a future leader
will fulfill this longing by brokering a peace deal with Israel's enemy. Y'all hear me? Y'all need to be looking for this. A future leader will fulfill that longing for peace by brokering a deal with Israel's enemy. Y'all need to be paying attention to this. But scripture also tells us that this peace plan will be broken and Israel will be attacked once again. And this time as never before. Countless armies are going to amass against this little nation, leaving it with what it looks like no hope of victory. But Christ's return, only his return, his judgment and his reign finally bring true peace to Israel. Amen and amen. And that's God's covenant with Abraham that we talked about. That's when it reaches its fulfillment. When the Jews will return to the Lord and they will be his people and he's their God. And the borders on the land which expand that we talked about in Genesis 15 and Ezekiel 48. Christ's return will also fulfill the prophecy that says God will gather the Jews. What does it say? You remember? Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them. So we got a couple of things that are happening here. We got to be remembering. We've got to remember that there's going to come this moment because Israel's been longing for peace. And then we're going to get this all of a sudden. This leader is going to broker this peace deal, and then all of a sudden the plan is broken, and then Israel's attacked. And then what we find in, behold, he says, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them. That's what he says. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's Jeremiah 32:37-38. So those of us who understand that, we know that Ezekiel makes it really clear that this gathering means that he's going to return every single living Jew back to the land. Because he wrote that the Lord said, what did the Lord say? That he was going to gather them again to their own land. We've been talking about this over and over and over. And it says none of them will be captive any longer in Ezekiel. So we asked the question, what's going on right now? Well, we see this prophecy, right, being fulfilled right before our eyes. Way back in 2006, Israel became home to the largest Jewish community in the world.
Amen.
Right? They went from 650,000 who returned when the Jewish state was founded in 1948. We talked about that earlier. Where the population of Israel is expected to exceed, now dig this, 20 million by 2065.
Wow.
20 million by 2065. So what we have is Israel's reemergence back into her ancient homeland, and this is setting the stage. Remember I told you we got to start being aware. We got to keep watching and seeing what's happening with Israel. Because when those people start returning home like crazy, when we start seeing the final fulfillment of that biblical prophecy, when the Jews are almost back home and we see all those people there, it's letting us know where we are on history's timeline.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen.
It says, without the existence of the nation of Israel, we would not be able to say with certainty that we are in the last days. So that event, more than any other, that's the most prominent sign that we're living in the final moments before the coming of Jesus. That's how we know. So when somebody asks you what you're going to say, how you know? We're looking for signs of when the end will be. We're looking for signs when Jesus will return. And those signs center around Israel. Israel wants peace. She desires peace. And when she brokers something, when that one person, that one leader brokers peace with Israel's leaders, and then all of a sudden they're attacked, we know what's up. But remember, they're not just a few, because by the year 2065, what did it say? There will be how many? 20 million.
20 million.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So we have a lot to look forward to when we look at what all this stuff means. Now, Dr. Jackson, what do you think all that stuff means? The fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham, right? It affects all of us.
Right. One of the things it means is that God stands by his covenant to make sure it is fulfilled.
And it's very important for our nation to continue to support and protect Israel.
Amen.
Because nations that befriend her and bless her will not be cursed.
Right.
So, good job, President Biden.
Very good job.
So, tonight, we'd like to close with, is there anything that you all want to say you have as a take home? My sister from Kentucky, what's the one thing that you are going to take home tonight?
Pray for the nation without ceasing.
Amen. Could you say that one more time slowly?
Pray for the nation without ceasing.
Amen. Pray for the nations without ceasing. Amen. Amen. Because the future of Israel impacts our future as well. Amen. Amen. Dr. Jackson, what's your take home that you want to leave with the people? I guess he's gone again. He was here for a minute and he left. All right. So let's go before the Lord as we invite the people. If there's someone out there tonight who has been listening to the radio broadcast and you are wondering, you know, I don't want to be outside of the group that is on Jesus' side. I don't want to be a part of that group that's not supporting Israel, because those are the people that are going to be cursed. I want to be on the Lord's side. What do I need to do? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again for you, and that you will rise with him in eternal life when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. So we praise the Lord tonight if there's anybody who has accepted God. We praise the Lord tonight if there are people who are really excited about being a part of getting involved in a Bible-believing church where they can worship God and study, and that you would come and join us again every Tuesday from 7 Eastern Standard Time to 8:30-ish. We would very much love that. We'd love to partner and collaborate with you. So as we close tonight, we ask that you join us here every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish. And that as you join us, you would remember to check out the number that you call in to 646-478-4932. And feel free to bring friends and loved ones with you. And if you want to send your name and let us know that you accepted the Lord, we will go to prayer with you and be a part. We're just so excited that you no longer are spiritually dead, but you today are a babe in Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's blessings be with you, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.